So I'm going to speak this morning about something I'm really excited about. A three-letter word in the Bible that many times we don't have it in our lives. Okay, but I want to start with my own testimony. You know, when I got saved, I used to be a very, very, very seriously, seriously serious person. Okay? I was very, very serious. Now I'm just serious. Okay? I was super, super serious, super focused, super, and obviously those of you who know me, I'm still a little bit like that. It's how God wired me, but something was missing in my life. It was this little word called joy. Okay, when I got saved, more like when I got spirit-filled. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I was saved. I was born again. I knew I was going to heaven. For 9 years, I walked without the Holy Spirit. When I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that was almost my second salvation, because that's when I really got saved. I really experienced God calling me out of my old life into my new life. Okay, the first commitment I made was kind of just a ticket to heaven. And God doesn't just want us to have a ticket to heaven. Amen. Because we can easily just make a commitment, and God says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. So it's easy to have a ticket to heaven, okay? But it's more blessed when we live a life of abundance, amen? It's more blessed when we live a life of empowerment by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came to fill my life and gave me this incredible joy. My family, people around me said, but you've been anointed with joy. It looks like you've been, you know, your life has changed. You're filled with joy. There's something different about you. And so then I wasn't extremely serious anymore. I was just serious. But the Lord wants this morning for us, I believe, some of us need to be re-anointed and refilled with the spirit of joy this morning. Amen. I want to read a scripture this morning, quite a scary scripture in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 47 to 48. And I want to ask you this question. What do you think life was like for people in the Old Testament? What do you think life was like? And this is the option that the people had, the people of God in the Old Testament. Because Moses gave the law, he gave the commandments, and in Deuteronomy 28, there's only a choice of two things. And it's the same with us today. It doesn't change. God doesn't change. But yeah, he says, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, there's a whole list of blessings and cursings. It says, if you follow the Lord, if you obey Him, and if you walk in His ways, then guess what? Blessed, 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 blessed. You will be very, very blessed. But if you don't obey the Lord your God, then cursed, 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 cursed. You will be very cursed. Okay? And it says here in verse 47, it says, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness of mind and heart in gratitude, for the abundance of all with which He had blessed you. Okay, that's the Amplified version. That's incredible. If you don't serve the Lord your God with joy, with gladness, with an abundance, and with a thanksgiving, then guess what's going to happen? You will serve your enemies, whom the Lord your God shall send against you, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and in want of all things. And He, that is God, will put a yoke of iron upon your neck until He has destroyed you. Hectic stuff. A loving God. You see, that was life in the Old Testament. That was what happened if you did not serve the Lord your God with everything. With an incredible joy, an incredible abundance, an incredible gladness, and a thanksgiving of heart. What would happen is the enemies that God placed against you would turn against you, and you know what? You wouldn't be able to survive. And so life in the Old Testament was a bit tough because they had to obey the law, obey God through the law, else they had to be cursed. And it was not just about serving God, it was actually about serving God with joy and with gladness. See, the other option was a life of hell. I think this is hell on earth, you know, in thirst, in nakedness, in want, your enemies going against you, in hunger, a yoke of iron upon you until you just cannot breathe anymore, destruction. A life of hell. This week I spoke to a guy, he just shared his past with me, so much bondage in his life, and he's actually given his life to the Lord, and he's busy walking the path. But he just shared with me this, all the hurts in his life and all the past choices that he has made that have caused his situation to be like it is today, and now he's got to work himself out of the situation. And I listened to his story, and it was challenging. I realized this is the life when Jesus is not king of our lives, when Jesus is not Lord of our lives. This is the challenge, and this is the possibility that we can be strangled. But praise the Lord, we're not living in the Old Testament. Amen. Praise the Lord that we don't have to serve the Lord, or we don't have to follow a law to serve the Lord. We don't have to do all these sacrifices and all these things to serve God. Amen. We can be so thankful we're not living in Old Testament times. It was quite tough. And it's not like God has changed. God is the same loving God, but God knows what people are like, and God knows that it's not Him that's going to just destroy us. It's the choices we make, and that yoke that comes upon us is our enemies that we follow. You see, and many times we must be honest with ourselves. Many times as New Testament believers, our lives are pretty much the same as the Old Testament people who did not choose to serve God with joy, who did not have the fullness. And it's not like God turned against us. It's just that is the law of God. If we don't follow Him, if we don't obey Him, then He hands us over to the principalities and powers of this world. And what do? We start to serve our enemies. The enemies of our souls, our own sinful nature, the devil himself. You see, God has always wanted His people to serve Him with hearts filled with joy, gladness, and thanksgiving, not out of obligation. Amen. God has always wanted us to serve Him, not out of obligation, not out of a place, oh, I must now because of these consequences. But the consequences were real for the Old Testament people. They were real. And they saw the desert, walking around in the desert for 40 years, they saw what happened when they didn't obey God. You see, God sent Moses into Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go. Amen. God called Moses to tell Pharaoh, Pharaoh, you better let the people of God go now because I want my people free. And guess who He sent for us? He sent Jesus Christ to tell the devil to let the people of God go. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. I believe God wants us to be free. And there's one word which really talks about this freedom, one of the many things of our freedom, and that is this place of joy. Praise God that we're living in New Testament times. Praise God for Jesus. John 15:11 says the following. Jesus speaking to His disciples, and He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you." Amen. But not only may remain in you, but that you may have fullness of joy. And so many times I believe we're bound by this yoke and this bondage and this obligation to serve the Lord. But God wants this morning to anoint us again with His joy, and that His joy may be full in us. Amen. But you see, it is possible for us as Christians to lose our joy. Hello? Anyone lost their joy before? I think all of us have. David said in the Old Testament, he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Restore it to me, meaning that he had lost his joy. And so all of us do lose our joy. But Jesus said, but I came that your joy may remain. So why? What happens? Why do we lose our joy? So I want to look at three things. How do we lose our joy? First of all, one way that we lose our joy is by sinning. Now, as soon as I mention sin, I wonder what happened. What do you guys think of when you think of sin? We probably think of murdering or raping or stealing or these so-called big sins, adultery, hectic stuff, sleeping around with someone else's wife or coveting, lust, porn, all these things. We think of that when we think of sin, don't we? But sin simply means missing the mark. Sin is anything that is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. Fear can be a sin in our lives. Doubt is a sin. Worry is a sin. Not seeking first the kingdom of God, as I talked about last week. That is sin. That is missing the mark. And so that is one way we can lose our joy, because I believe we will not have the fullness of joy if we're not obedient to God. Amen. Disobedience to the Lord is sin. So we must think differently of sin. So many times we lose our joy because of sin in our lives. That's one reason. Secondly, We lose our joy because of other people. We allow people to define our joy. We allow leaders to define our joy. We allow the government to define our joy. So in South Africa, we lose our joy because, hey, you know, there's not lots of hope because of the leaders we have or the way the country is going. We lose hope and joy specifically because of people, other people in our lives, difficult people in our lives cause us to lose our joy. Amen. A boss, a spouse sometimes, we allow our partners to determine our joy. And then thirdly, circumstances. We look at circumstances and we lose our joy because life doesn't look so great. Financially, my situation doesn't look good. My stuff is not so cool anymore. My little toys that I play with aren't so cool. So we lose our joy. Or, as I said, the nation itself. We just see murder. We see bloodshed. We see the world going one way and we lose our joy. So I want you to ask yourself an honest question this morning. I want you to say, Alistair, where have I lost my joy this morning? One of these areas. And I'm sure we can put a lot more there, but I believe everything can fall into one of those categories. But ask yourself honestly this morning, what defines your joy? Because if you lose your joy because of these things, do these things define your joy then? Should people define your joy? Should circumstances define your joy? But I believe the first one, your own obedience, is a real one, because let's look at what is joy. Let's look at how do we restore our joy? How do we maintain our joy? The Bible says in that same chapter of John chapter 15 where Jesus said, I've spoken to you these things. In other words, he says, my word will come to pass in your life. If you do my word, if you obey and you follow what I've spoken, then guess what? You'll have joy. And what did he speak about in John chapter 15? Just two things. He said, if you abide in me, you will bear fruit. Amen. So I believe those are two things that will give us joy. Abiding in Jesus, abiding in the vine, and out of that place of abiding, we've got to bear fruit. So let's look at a few things here. Psalm 16 verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, pleasures forevermore. Abiding in the presence of God is the place where our joy will be restored. Amen. Not only restored, but it will be maintained. Guess what, guys? We are carriers of the presence of God. The presence of God is not limited to this place on a Sunday or your quiet time in the morning or a praise and worship or cell group. The presence of God should go with you. And so many times our joy is determined by, you know, circumstances or happenings in our lives. And God is calling us to be in His presence all the time. I remember when I was in Spirit-filled, I was in Res in Stellenbosch, and I saw these. After a while, I found out they were from Shofar. These wacky guys that nothing seemed to get them down. They were always full of joy. I didn't know it at the time, but afterwards I realized these guys have got this joy that I thought I had, but I never had it. Because my life was determined by how successful I was, or how my marks were, or whether I was passing or not, or, you know, my running achievements. But I could see these guys were just like, life was tough sometimes. I knew they were going through tough times, but they had this joy in their lives. The presence of God in their lives. I only had the presence of God when I prayed or went to church or went to a meeting. But I knew in these guys' lives that they spent time with Jesus. I knew they had been with Jesus. So Jesus wants us to be at that place where worship is a lifestyle. It's not singing songs on a Sunday. It's not going to meetings where there's other people. That is incredible. I mean, this morning we experience joy. We experience His presence because He loves it when His children gather. But He wants to give you joy in your life personally. And it comes from this place of surrendering to the Word of God. If Jesus is the Word made flesh, we must surrender to the Word made flesh. And He's given us His Word. He's given us His Spirit. It talks about this place of the presence of the Spirit in our lives, praying in the Spirit. How often do we pray in the Spirit every day? How often do we exercise the presence of God in our lives? Praying in the Spirit, meditating on the Word, having the Word in your heart that when a situation comes, you don't have to open your Bible. Oh, what does the Word say now? You know the Word and you speak the Word against the situation or in a situation and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear now, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. There's no condemnation in Christ. Romans 8, or whatever. You speak the Word of God. You speak the Psalm into your life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And then you reminded God, I missed your presence here a little bit. I'm so focused on my own stuff. And so, Lord, thank you for your presence right now in my life. But you've got to know the Word of God, you see. And I believe it comes from a place of confession and repentance. David said, restore to me, Lord, I've lost my joy. So we need to publicly confess sometimes. We need to repent and tell the Lord that we've missed it. God, my joy is gone. Please, Lord, only you can restore my joy. No person can. Someone can help me get into God's presence, but it's my responsibility to get into the presence of God. And maybe if people are irritating you or people have hardened your heart, then you know what you say? Lord, I forgive them. I repent of my own, you know, response to people's difficult, you know, people's issues in their lives and people's just being difficult. Lord, I repent of allowing that, but Lord, I forgive them. I don't want to have that hardness of heart in my life. I don't want to have a bitterness that always is there. When I see this person, then I get all frustrated. I get angry. So we've got to have a place of forgiveness. We've got to have a place of repentance. And then we've got to walk in the light. No place for hypocrites. Amen. We've got to be honest with where we're at. And then we get back to the presence of God. Because the hardness of heart brings us away from the presence of God. I've seen it in my own life. You know, the Bible talks about before we come to the altar and take communion and get all excited about God, if there's something you've got against your brother, get that right first. I want to go so as far as to say, you know, don't come to church on a Sunday if you've got something against a brother. Sort it out, okay? Try to do it like before church so you don't have to miss church because church is good. But don't make as if everything's all fine, you come to church, but meanwhile you've got this terrible bitterness against someone in your life. I mean, then we're playing hypocrites, guys. And guess what? The presence of God will not be welcome in our lives. There's joy in His presence. Amen? Someone get excited here this morning. There's joy in the presence of God. Turn to someone next to you and say, there's joy right here. Amen? Even Luzon's dog is experiencing the joy of the Lord. He's standing up and saying, the joy is here. Amen? I loved Valdo this morning. Valdo almost wanted to go to kids' church this morning. You know, Valdo's like got faith like a child. I loved it when he stood up and wanted to go with the kids. It's awesome. There is joy in the house of the Lord. It's so wonderful to see you guys, Valdo and Luzon. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls. That is quite a tough place to be at. Amen? Any farmers around you, any business people where your business is not going so well, there's no fruit, there's no labor, there's no food, nothing. And what does the writer say? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Thanksgiving is so crucial, guys. It's the key to having joy in all circumstances. Because why? God is faithful. I want to say that again in your life. God is faithful. Tarsus, Yolandi, Joshua, Leonay, Chris, God is faithful. And He has already done awesome things in your life. So many times we lose our joy because of a circumstance, but then we forget about all the awesome things God has done in our lives. How stupid can we people be? Eh? Us people are just so, we miss it. But yet I will rejoice. I don't care about how tough life is. I don't care how much money or how little money I have. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Maybe you don't know the God of your salvation this morning, then you're at the perfect place. Because you can know the God who's going to bring you out of your situation, out of the tough times, out of above your circumstances. Your circumstances won't go away necessarily, but you will rejoice in the Lord of your salvation. You see why we can choose every single day to have joy. Because God is faithful. If we know the Lord this morning, if you don't know the Lord, then this is not a burden for you. That you cannot choose joy. If you don't know Jesus, you cannot wake up every day and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. It's very difficult for you. So I free you of that. But if you know the Lord this morning, I'm talking to myself as well. If you know Jesus, you can wake up every single morning. And guys, we don't have an excuse. Okay, I know this is tough. But we need to hear this. None of us have an excuse to wake up and have a sour face. Amen. If we know Jesus, He's the ultimate joy. And we can say like Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day that Amen. Psalm 118:24. Know the scriptures. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because God is faithful. Hallelujah. We're just getting started here this morning. Amen. God is faithful. The joy of knowing His faithfulness. And then, now we've done the abiding thing. This is when we abide in the presence of God. And out of that place of abiding, guess what? We will bear fruit. So if we abide in God, if we focus on Jesus and we have the joy, I mean, just go and listen to some of the stories of the missions teams. I spoke to Jacobus this week. Go and speak to people who were in Malawi. Thanks for all those guys who were praying. It was awesome, the testimonies that happened. But just go speak to them about what happened on the mission. Go and speak to them about how God moved out of a place of where they just went with the joy and went with abiding in Christ. When you abide in Christ, then fruit happens. Amen. Miracles happen. Incredible stuff happens. So out of this place of abiding where we know His presence, we know His faithfulness, then what happens is we start to bear fruit. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2 to 4. From the Contemporary English Version. Paul is writing here about the incredible heart that the Macedonian churches had to give. And he said, although they were going through hard times, so he was testifying to the people of Corinth. He was saying, listen here, these people are on another level of giving. He says, although they were going through hard times and they were very poor. Hard times, very poor. Okay? Take note of that. They were glad to give generously. They gave as much as they could afford and even more, simply because they wanted to. They even asked and begged us to let them have the joy of giving their money for God's people. I can imagine Paul almost saying, listen, yeah, you guys, it's okay. You don't have to give so much. You know, just take a little bit for yourself. And they were, no, please, we want to give to the people of God. Because we know there's a joy in giving. And so when we abide in Christ and when we know His faithfulness, guess what? We won't have a problem with giving because it's a cycle. The more we give, the more joy we have. And the more joy we have, the more we want to give. And so I believe the Lord wants to challenge people this morning. Because if there's one thing that steals our joy, guys, it's this thing. Financial burdens. Amen? And so I want to challenge some people this morning. I believe the Lord showed me there's people here. You think you are too poor to give. You think you have too little to give and you're waiting for one day to start to give. And God says, no. There's never going to be a one day if you don't start to give now. Amen. Some people have so little to give, but the Lord is saying to you this morning, you must just start to give faithfully. And don't get bound by the 10% thing. Start with 1%, 2%, grow to 5%, and then give more than 10%. Give 20, 30, 40%. Watch how God blesses you. Not to be blessed. Don't give to be blessed. I can tell you will be blessed. Because it's a principle. But do like the Macedonian churches did. They were so poor, but yet they said, it's such a joy to give into the house of God. It's such a joy to give, not only into the house of God, but give into the kingdom of God. Amen. Give to where people's lives are being changed. Give to missions. I just love our missions teams. They've always got provision because they're going. There's always provision because they're going. Someone is being obedient to help them because we've got a lot of students here. They do not have money to go on missions, okay? But somehow someone is giving because of the joy to seeing lives change. There's a joy in giving, guys. And I want to challenge us this morning. Financial burdens will steal your joy. Best way to do that, and I've seen it in my own life. And you've got to steward yourself. You've got to budget. Okay, that's, hey, Scarpa. Ons moet Microsoft money gebruik, you know. You've got to, but do not let your giving be compromised. The financial burden will just get greater and greater. And you know what? That's what we do as people. We're sinful, okay? So we compromise on our giving. Let's just cut ya until the budget works for bad cycle. Start to give more by faith. And if God says so, I'm not saying He's going to works now. But I know we've got to be obedient to the Word of God. Giving is not negotiable. Giving sets us free, guys. Amen. I know people are challenged here this morning. Us Westerners, go to the African churches, go to the East. You know, they money and financial burdens and material stuff doesn't bind them. They just give. But for us, we need to challenge ourselves. Give to the kingdom of God. Matthew 25, verse 21. We all know the parable of the faithful servant. The talents, eh? The parable of the talents. One talent, five talents, 10 talents. At the end, God says the same thing to those who got the two and the, or the five and the 10 talents. He says exactly the same thing. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But the focus here is on well done, good and faithful servant. God understands His people to be servants. Amen. What does a servant mean? You've got to serve. One day we're going to enter into heaven and God is going to say, you are my servant whether you like it or not, but how have you served? Have you been a good and faithful servant or have you been a wicked and lazy servant? It's scary stuff, but we've only got one choice, is how we serve. Because we're all servants. Amen. Is that new to some people? We're not just children of God, we are servants. And He's going to tell us, you're a servant, but listen here, I've got to judge you on how have you served. Have you been a good and faithful servant, or have you been a wicked and lazy servant? And you know, I don't believe this joy is for one day. We're going to have incredible joy in heaven, but I believe there's joy in laying down our lives now to serve. Amen. So I believe what we do now is a trial run for eternity. What the choices and the stuff we do now is going to echo into eternity. It's just a practice round. So let's practice for eternity. Let's serve. What we do now with our gifts will echo in eternity. Why? Because of this parable. Jesus told this parable. He said, I've given you 10 talents or 5 talents. Doesn't matter about the talents. What have you done with that talent? Have you served with that talent? What are the gifts of the Father, the 7 gifts in Romans. What are the fivefold gifts that you have? Are you a prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher? How do you move in the Holy Spirit? What gifts do you have, and are you using those gifts to serve God? There's another scripture in 1 Peter 2 somewhere you can read. I don't know exactly. 1 Peter 2 or 4, I think 1 Peter 4, about the manifold gifts or the incredible gifts God has given you. And it says serve. Use those gifts to serve people. Minister to people. Use your gifts to change lives. So I want to challenge us, some of us this morning. You've lost your joy. Why? Because you're not flowing out. You're like the Dead Sea. There's just like an inflow. In fact, the inflow has also stopped because there's no outflow. What gifts have you been given? And are you using it to serve the body of Christ? Not only the body of Christ, the kingdom of God. Because sometimes we limit it to the body of Christ. It's not about just serving this church. It's about serving. This morning we had fellowship group at Caramello's again. Every Sunday we have fellowship at Caramello's. And I was so blessed by David coming this morning to help facilitate there. And I could see the joy in his life. He came last week of the first time I invited him. I said, Dave, don't you want to come? I know it's early, but... And there he's starting to give words to people and he's praying for people. And I'm thinking, this guy can just take over here. And I can go and sleep a bit late on a Sunday. Because David loves to serve. David is like blessed because he's serving people. He's already made friends there. He's already connected because he's using his gift to serve God. To serve the kingdom of God. What gift have you been given this morning? Maybe some of you don't even know your gifts, and I want to say, start to discover your gifts. Ask God, who am I, Lord? Because I'm not just here to take up oxygen. I'm not just here to survive. Amen? I'm here to serve the body of Christ. I'm here to serve the kingdom of God. And you know another thing that serving does? It helps us focus away from ourselves. Because when I look in the mirror, you know, there's a bit of a boring picture there. Right? Who wants to look in the mirror and go, oh, I'm so cool. Yeah, I must just improve myself. 10 steps to a better me, you know. How boring is that? But let's start looking outward. Let's start seeing lives change. And that's my next point. I'm just getting excited here. When we look away from ourselves and we see God in other people and we see how we can serve and bless someone else, there's a blessing in giving. Amen. It's more blessed to give than to receive. I want to say it's more blessed to serve than to be served. Alistair 1 verse 1. Whoa. Getting away from the word of God, eh? John 16 verse 24. Jesus said, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And he says, listen, yeah, while I'm with you, you know what? I ask the Father and the Father hears me and he does exactly what I ask because we've got this awesome relationship. But you know, I'm going away. And so up to now, you haven't needed to ask. But from now on, when I go away, you're going to start to ask. And whatever you ask in my name, you will receive. Amen. Jesus, yeah, I believe he's asking us to pray for the harvest, to ask for souls to be saved, to ask for his kingdom to come. Because there's a joy in it. This morning we're going to do it some practical. We're going to do it practically now. We're going to pray, okay? Because there's a team going to the Karoo. Okay, that's my hometown. They're going to my hometown, Graaffreinet. We call it Graaffreinet, the English people. So I want Ferdy and his team to come forward. We're going to pray for them right now. We're going to send them. Okay? They're going to minister in Burgersdorp and they're going to Graaffreinet. And next Sunday, please pray for us. I'm preaching in Graaffreinet next Sunday morning. We're going to have a little outreach service there. There's a church that started. But they're going to minister in the Karoo. You know, the Karoo is koud en droog, okay? But you see, God wants people's lives to be changed. And so this morning, maybe you can just share quickly if you want to, Fadi, what you guys are going to do. And then we're going to lay hands on them and pray for them.
Good morning. We're going to leave after church today. And then we're going to Burgersdorp. We're going to work with the youth Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And we're going to equip them and teach them the truth about God. And then on Wednesday afternoon, we're going to Graaffreinet, and then we're going to be praying there and seeking God's kingdom. The Thursday, Friday, and the Saturday, and then Sunday, Alistair's going to join us, and he's going to preach at the church. So yeah, it will be nice if you pray for us. And LZ is going to be our prayer coordinator, so if you want to be on the list, you can just ask her. Thank you.
Okay, so let's stretch out our hands. If you want to come forward and lay hands on them, anyone knows them can come forward, and we can lay hands on them and pray for them. But let's ask the Lord for his kingdom to come. Amen. So come, don't be shy. Thanks, Teresa. Let's come and let's have one person at least lay hands on each of them. Okay. Let's pray and agree that God's kingdom will come through them. Okay. Lord, this morning, we want to thank you for these precious people that are going into the harvest field, Lord. Lord, even though it's dry and Lord, it's not like they're going to a massive city where there are millions of people, Lord. But thank you that there's precious people that you want to touch, Lord. Thank you for the youth, Lord. Thank you for the people of Burgersdorp, Lord. The people of Graaffreinet, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is going to come in these places, Lord. And we pray for favor. We ask you, Lord, to be with them, Lord. We know that you will, God. You are faithful. And so we thank you for divine appointments, Lord. In every place that they go to, we thank you for connections with men of peace, Lord. We pray that they would be like the disciples being sent out where they found a place of peace and they left their peace there, Lord. And if they didn't find peace, then they wipe it off and they go on, Lord. But I thank you for men of peace and women of peace that they will connect with, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord. We commit also as a church to send them now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that they're not doing their own thing, Lord. But, Lord, we want to share in the joy of the harvest, Lord. We want to share in the joy of seeing lives changed. And we know that they will, God. But we thank you that the blessing doesn't remain upon them, but it's spread to our church and to many others, Lord. The joy of going, the joy of saying yes, Lord. And so we pray for them this morning. We ask in the name of Jesus, let your kingdom come, Lord. Let your will be done. And let their joy, Lord, be full as they go, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let them see your favor and your hand upon them. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Thanks, guys. So God wants us to pray for the harvest, first of all. You see, if we don't ask, we won't receive. And Jesus said, ask and you'll receive. And then he said, you know what? That your joy may be not half, not three quarters. Your joy may be full. So many times we're only satisfied with half measure because, as I said last week, it's a bit comfortable. It's comfortable to rather just have a little bit. It's comfortable to just have a few scraps. It's comfortable to just survive, you know. Amen. But the Lord said, let's ask for the kingdom. Let's ask for the harvest. Because that is what's on God's heart. Luke 15:7. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Not only must we pray for the harvest, but we must go and gather the harvest. Amen. I remember when I started praying for people, I was so excited. When people responded for altar calls, I would be there to pray for the new believers. I would be there to pray for people giving their lives to Jesus, because it was just the most amazing experience to be used by God to lead someone into his kingdom. And then I went with some weird people and we did soul winning on campus in Stellenbosch, and we started to see people responding to the gospel just because we went. Started to pray for people, started to see people responding and saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. And it was the most amazing experience, okay? There's nothing that compares to seeing lives changed, guys. Okay? I'm married, okay? I've experienced a couple of things, blessings that come from marriage, you know, awesome stuff. Okay, now all the people are, whoa. I can't wait for that, you know. Can't wait for the honeymoon. Can't wait to have kids. And it's awesome. But you know what? Nothing compares to seeing a life changed. Amen. There's nothing in this life that satisfies more than seeing the kingdom of God come in someone's life. And this is true because the Bible says so. The angels rejoice in heaven. Amen. Nothing else satisfies, guys. And so I want to challenge you. Not everyone's an evangelist, okay? So we're not all supposed to be evangelists, because this church would look very bad if they were just evangelists. It would look very broken. We need pastors. We need teachers to teach the word of God. We need apostles, prophets. We need a fivefold to work together. So guess what? We don't have to lead people to Christ like an evangelist does. But we must somehow lead people closer to Christ. Amen? Each one of us has been called to either pastor people, to help broken people, to teach people the word of God, to break new ground, to, you know, prophetically speak into being stuff, into someone's life or whatever. But we're all supposed to be involved in the harvest. Because I know what many people think. I used to think like this. Oh, this is just for those weird people that they're always just leading people to Christ. And this is not just about leading people to Christ. It's about the harvest. It's about getting involved in the joy of seeing lives changed. And whether a person is already saved, you know what? You can speak a word into that person's life and they can just get closer to Christ. But there's a joy in heaven when people repent, when people come to Jesus. And so we mustn't only pray for the harvest, but guess what happens when we do pray? If we go. Because we realize we're the answer to our own prayers. Because we cannot just sit in a closet somewhere and pray. We've got to respond and say, Lord, okay, thank you that you're stirring my heart. I'm praying, but Lord, I want to go as well. I want to go. Harvest time on any farm. Any farmers, yeah? Or people that come from a farm? Anyone? Just Jethro knows about farming. The harvest time on a farm is the most joyful time. It's the most amazing time. Why? Because labor has happened, we've put in our seed, and now we're gathering the harvest. It's a rewarding time. It's hard work, that it's rewarding, and it's exactly the same in the kingdom of God. And I want to say this morning that it is harvest time, guys. Amen. The harvest is ready. The laborers are few. And the problem is we need to say, God, I want to be that laborer. We must pray for the laborers to stand up, because the Lord of the harvest wants to see his harvest brought in. And you know, the Lord of the harvest is so excited about you, and he wants you to experience the joy, amen, of bearing fruit in his kingdom. He wants you to experience the joy of abiding in him and knowing his faithfulness. But it doesn't help that we just abide in God and we know his faithfulness. And you know, me and Jesus, we cool, we sorted, we surfing together, we doing life together. That's great. But we must move to another step where we say, Lord, I want to be a laborer. I want to experience bearing fruit for your kingdom. And that's why we need to make a choice to give into the kingdom. We need to make a choice to serve in the kingdom. We need to make a choice to go and to pray, to do whatever it takes to bring in the harvest this morning. And I want to say there's a joy in that. There's a joy in that. Joy is so important. It's our strength, our inheritance. It's the testimony of Christ in us, guys. Amen. Joy is so contagious. Have you been around joyful people? You just want to be around them. And God is doing this in my own life. I can testify, because you know, sometimes I get very serious and so focused, and it's tough, okay? The Lord's just been telling me, listen here, I want to restore your joy. I want to restore your joy. And God wants to do it with all. When he starts with me, I know he's about to do with you as well. Hello. When he starts with the leader, he's just going to spread. You know what? I believe God just wants to restore joy in the city. Amen. Because this city is also so bound by so many things, and this campus is bound by so many things, and this nation is bound. God wants his people to go out with joy. You know, when we sing that song, Joy Like a Fountain, anyone sang that song? Love like a mountain, peace like a river, joy like a fountain. It springs forth, you know. You want to just jump. Amen? For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the... It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy comes from the anointing. Joy comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes... And you know, we can get so focused on rituals and eating, you know, eating and drinking, just Paul there says to the guys, stop focusing on, you know, what food you're supposed to eat or not supposed to eat, because, and you might make someone stumble, and you might, you know, there's all these rules and stuff. The kingdom of God is not about that. It's about certain keys, and one of them is this thing of joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's a whole sermon on its own. Each one of those is a sermon. But this morning my sermon is on the third one. The joy in the Holy Spirit. Last scripture this morning, Hebrews 1:9. Talking here about Jesus, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. So I believe this morning all the Lord wants to come and do, and I know he's going to do it in the Spirit here. I've got such an expectation that, you know, it doesn't matter how many people are anointed with joy this morning. I just know something in the Spirit is going to shift this morning. Because I believe this is a prophetic word for the next season that we're going into. Because we're going to be busy, guys. Next term, we're going to have like outreaches. We're going to have guest speakers on Sunday. August is going to be a busy month. We're going to invite so many people to church and invite them to Jesus. And we're going to be busy with a lot of stuff. Bible school starting again, and students are coming back. You know, students they come and go. I've got to make a peace with the fact that I'm pastoring a lot of students. They come and go. And that's fine. And many times they are very happy and they're not joyful. But it is exciting. But I believe that when God really deals with us and gives us this joy that's everlasting, this joy that doesn't get lost easily, then people want to be with us. People want to be with the people that are filled with joy. Amen. Jesus was anointed with the same spirit of joy, and he wants to anoint us today. We don't have to live under the yoke of our enemies, the devil or our own sinful natures or circumstances or other people. Not that people are our enemy, but the world we live in is a fallen world, guys. But if there's going to be a testimony of Jesus, I believe this is part of it. And yes, there's a place for prophecy and there's a place for, you know, that's all part of Jesus. But there's one side of Jesus that I believe he wants to restore in our church. Because some of us have allowed sin in our lives. Some of us have allowed other people or circumstances to steal our joy. I want the band to come forward this morning. We're gonna sing now as well, and we're gonna respond to the Lord and be honest with him this morning. But we're gonna sing a song of joy here this morning, just to proclaim that joy is gonna break forth, not only in our ranks, but just throughout our lives, and where we go, there will be joy. So some of us have allowed sin, so I want you to think back to those three things. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe you've missed the mark. You've been disobedient. That's fine. Just be honest with the Lord. Maybe you've allowed other people to determine your level of joy. Maybe circumstances are not that great this morning. Financially, things aren't looking good. Relationally, you're just having so many breakdowns. You're having so many struggles at work or with your boss or with family even. But I believe this morning Jesus has come to restore to us the joy of our salvation. Amen. Maybe this morning you don't even know Jesus. Then he wants to give you joy for the first time. He wants to give you a joy that you've never known before. Just ask anyone who's given their lives to Jesus. Circumstances might not change and probably won't change. But you have that joy in you. And it comes from abiding and bearing fruit. Connecting to the vine. So I want to pray this morning that God anoints you with joy. Amen. Let's all close our eyes this morning. Father, this morning we just thank you for your joy in our lives. Lord, we don't always experience it, Lord, because of so many other things, Lord. We determine our joy by our surroundings, Lord. We determine our joy by other people, Lord, but joy can never come from the outside, Lord. Joy only comes from abiding in the vine, Lord. And this morning, Jesus, you are the one who was anointed with joy above your companions. Even the angels couldn't experience that same anointing, Lord, that you had. And Jesus, you came to release that anointing upon the earth. You came to release joy, Lord. You came to release a life on the earth. And I thank you this morning that you want to release it right here, right now, where we are. So I thank you now, by faith, Lord, I thank you that you will release it also into our church, Lord. Not only here this morning, Lord, but even those who are represented by us or who are far away from you now, who are at home with their parents, wherever they are, Lord. So many people doing lots of things. But Lord, our prayer this morning is that you will release joy in our midst this morning. And Lord, release it through us into the city, God. Release it into Christians that have lost their joy, that have been bound, Lord, by yokes of slavery, yokes of unforgiveness, Lord, yokes of unrepentance, Lord, yokes of sin that are cycles and cycles of sin that have overtaken people. But this morning, Lord, I pray for a breaking of that yoke this morning. And it's only by your anointing.